have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Living our lives in Christ Jesus the Lord can be very difficult. Being rooted in Christ and established in the faith, abounding in thanksgiving, isn't always easy. And Jesus understood this fact. Jesus knew it, and that's why he, when asked, gave to his disciples a method, a plan, a pattern, a structure for prayer. He taught them how to pray, how to live God's presence prayerfully daily, how to live with each other in God's presence prayerfully and daily. That's what the Lord's Prayer is all about. It's not Jesus' prayer. It's the prayer, and more particularly the way of prayer, that Jesus taught his disciples. It's also the way of prayer that Jesus teaches us. That's what we're going to look at today. The Lord's Prayer. The prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. The prayer Jesus teaches us. Would you pray with me now? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence, for we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. When I was in seminary and graduate school at Duke University in Durham, North Carolina, I attended class week after week with lots of wonderful people, including several monks of the Society of St. John the Evangelist, an Episcopalian monastic community. And the Society of St. John the Evangelist had a monastery there in Durham, North Carolina. It was actually a beautiful country home. And on the weekends, especially, the students from the seminary were invited to come out and participate in the Saturday morning Holy Communion service. The community was a wonderful, welcoming one, filled with wonderful men of God. One of those men was a fellow by the name of Eldridge, and he invited me to come one Saturday, to attend the services there at the monastery. And so Saturday came, and I woke up, didn't feel like getting out of bed like most students. I was up way too late the night before. So I didn't go. The next week I didn't go, and the week after that I didn't go, and then finally Eldridge invited me again to go to Saturday morning service at the monastery there in Durham. And I finally said yes. And got up Saturday morning and got ready and went. And there in the worship service in the monastery chapel, I was transported back to my days as a child, going to worship in the Episcopal Church, listening and praying the prayers. And when the priest began the Lord's Prayer, I felt at home. He begins it very simply. As our Savior Christ has taught us, we now pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. I had been a Methodist for several years, had determined to go into the ministry in the United Methodist Church, and had gotten used to praying the Lord's Prayer, saying trespasses. And when I heard, "Forgive us our sins," it struck me home again what we were praying for as a community, as the people of God gathered together, what we were praying for. Indeed, the Lord's Prayer has several different formations to it. There's the Catholic, the Anglican, the Lutheran, the Presbyterian, the Methodist. They are all closely related to each other. The general rule of thumb was, if you're a Methodist, you got trespasses. If you're an Episcopalian, you got sins. And if you're Presbyterian, they love money. They got debts. And they all are true, actually. We trespass against each other. We sin against God. And we have spiritual debts that we can never repay. But Jesus paid them for us. The Lord's Prayer is a pattern of prayer. Sometimes we pray it by rote again and again and again to the point that we do not listen or understand what it is we're praying. We'll pray it and not even remember that we prayed it. Once I remember we had a worship service and we had the Lord's Prayer, and it came time for the service to be completed and people were leaving, and several people came up to me and said, "Why didn't we pray the Lord's Prayer?" "Well, we prayed it," I said. But we had prayed it at a different place than we normally prayed it. And the mental rote structure missed it where it belonged, quote unquote. We don't listen to what we pray when we pray the Lord's Prayer. We go through it and don't pay attention to it. What Jesus taught us was not just a prayer. What Jesus taught us is a way of prayer. Prayer has form and structure. Prayer has a flow. And this formal type prayer that Jesus taught his disciples tells us a lot about the relationship that we are called to have with God and with each other. Firstly, it teaches us that God is not distant. God is not distant, far away, watching us from a distance. God is right here. God is our Father. God is also, can be understood as, our Mother. It is parental deity that Jesus was speaking about, not some distant monarch, but the God that is just like a father or a mother to us. Loving, caring, nurturing, feeding, teaching, protecting, guiding, soothing, comforting. God is not some distant monarch. God is a loving mother, a loving father. One image I have of God the Father, God the parent, is when I was a child coming out of Sunday school. And I came out of Sunday school and I looked down the hall, and at the intersection I saw a bunch of women standing talking. And I saw my mother and I was happy to see her, and I went running to her, you know, little boy about this tall. Went running to my mom, and I ran up and put my arms around her, my face around her knees. And I looked up and it wasn't my mom. And I looked over and I saw mother over there, and I went running and I hid behind her skirt, peeking out around the end. And of course they all laughed, how cute. Going to run and hide behind my mom's skirt. It's a little bit of an image of how I understood God, the parent, God the mother, God the father. Also, being able to run and put my arms around her like that is a beautiful image of how we are called to approach God. And I want to tell you, that was a radical affirmation for the Jewish people, that Jesus would say, "God, our Father." It's one thing for the whole people of God to address God as Father in the ancient world, but to address God as Father personally, "Father, hallowed be your name," was a radical statement on his part. We are called to address God personally, not impersonally, personally, as our mother, as our father, knowing that God guides us and comforts us, heals us and transforms us. Another image I have of God the Father is of my dad out on a fishing trip, teaching me how to fish, It's all in the wrist, Greg. It's all in the wrist. Put a fly on the fly rod and cast that fly out across the other side of the river and pop that fly across the surface and catch that bluegill or goggle-eye. In his loving care of me when I was so sick I was nearly dead, and he came into the hospital and stood by my bed and prayed for me in tears, committing me to God. That's another image I have of God, parental deity, God the Father, God the Mother, the God whom Jesus revealed when he came into this world, taught us, then stretched out his arms and died for us on the cross. God, the loving parent, the loving mother, the loving father. Firstly, Jesus tells us we are to pray to God, not distant, but God right here. God, our mother, our father. Our Father, hallowed be your name. Holy be your name. Glorious be your name. We're called to pray to God, our Father, who is glorious. We're called to praise God. That's the first aspect of our praying. God is right here as parent, and God is glorious. Your kingdom come. Now, that's not some pie in the sky future proclamation that Jesus is going to bring his kingdom in, that Jesus is going to bring the kingdom of God in, that the kingdom will come someday. No, it's a proclamation that God's kingdom is here right now in this place. Today. This instant. If you want to separate yourself from kingdom language, you can say family. We are in the family of God right here. God's kingdom, God's family is established, has come on earth as it is in heaven. You know, Matthew and Luke contain the prayer somewhat differently. You heard Luke's reading just a bit ago. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. Matthew's version is a little more familiar. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. It's a little more familiar, isn't it, to what we usually pray. Luke's version cuts it to the essential. Just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread. God, you are Father, you are Mother, you are right here. Holy be your name. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom is here right now. Give us this day our daily bread. Not our weekly bread, not our monthly bread, not our yearly bread. Not just what we want, what we need daily. What we need to live, our daily sustenance. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, our trespasses, our debts. As we forgive those who've sinned against us. That is so uncomfortable, and yet so true. If we don't forgive, we have not been forgiven. If we don't forgive, we can't be forgiven. If we've been forgiven, and we have in Jesus, then we are called to forgive. Well, I don't want to forgive. Sorry, you don't have that choice. I want to hold this trespass against me that person over there did. I want to hold it against them. I want a pound of flesh. I want them to pay. Sorry. We don't get to do that. Jesus forgives us. We are called to forgive others. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. and save us from the time of trial. Life can be a trial. Life can be filled with tribulation. Life can be hard. It can be difficult. It's not a bed of roses, my friends. It can be hard. Real life is tough. It's filled with disappointments and fears. It's filled with many temptations. The good news is in this prayer we are reminded that God can and will lead us through it, away from it, and beyond it. Lead us not into temptation, the traditional prayer says, but deliver us from evil. So we got the elements of all of our prayers right there. Address God personally, not impersonally, and give glory to God's name. Pray for God's presence and God's kingdom here and now. Pray for what you need. Give us this day our daily bread. Pray for forgiveness and for the grace to forgive others. And pray to be led through this life and the difficulties and temptations of this life. That's the element of every prayer. That way of praying is to encompass our daily living. Every day should be encompassed with this prayerful attitude, that we make our journey with Christ Jesus, that we make our journey with the personal God, the parental God, our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Mother, who was with us and travels with us and goes with us, whose kingdom is present, who provides us with our daily needs, who forgives us as we forgive others, and who leads us through this life and into the next. With a life encompassed by this prayerful experience, what more could we possibly need? Jesus taught his disciples this way of praying, to teach them this way of living, a life that is encompassed by the presence of God. Today we're going to reaffirm that life, reaffirm that prayer, reaffirm this way of living together in the kingdom of God, in the family of God, through reaffirming our baptisms, through reaffirming the grace that was given to us in our baptisms. Following the meditation after the sermon, we will celebrate the remembrance of our baptism to reestablish in our lives this way of thinking, this way of living, this way of praying, realizing that we live in Christ, immersed into Jesus, immersed into this way of thinking, immersed into this way of praying, immersed into this life together. So we will remember our baptisms today, reaffirm the grace given to us, and then proclaim that we will take that grace and share it with others. Give thanks and praise to God that Jesus taught us this way of prayer, this pattern of prayer, this way of living in the family of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered without price. Through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? According to the grace given to you, Will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the nations, His glory among all people. Pour out your Holy Spirit, and by this gift of water, call to our remembrance the grace declared to us in our baptism. For you have washed away our sin, and you clothed us with righteousness throughout our lives, that dying and rising with Christ, we may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Throughout the history of the church, the practice of reaffirmation of baptism is such that water will be sprinkled on you. And as I say, remember your baptism and be thankful. You're all invited to proclaim, Amen. Remember your baptisms and be thankful. 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 Remember your baptisms and be thankful.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2007 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.